Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Darren Moser, joined as always by my fellow Strandees in the future, Philip and Daniel. Sorry guys, I forgot to take down that cloaking donut, and so I guess you guys didn't read the directions exactly on how to get here, but just plug in your starship over here and we'll all start confabbing. Welcome as we talk again about another Discovery episode. This is episode 5 of season 3, Die Trying. Nobody dies in this episode, guys. It's really misleading.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I know. It's
yeah.
Well, that's no not one. Completely true.
They're already dead. That's a key plot point that they're already dead.
Wait, is this halfway through? Is this the halfway point?
How many
This is episode 5.
Right, and are we getting 10 episodes? Is that the case? Because I feel like that's what it's been, isn't it?
I can't remember. I know I'm not going to say
no, we are getting 13 episodes this season, so we are not yet halfway.
Well, we need a week and a half till we get halfway.
Guys, we're 2 weeks away from Unification 3!
Oh man, if Sela shows up, I swear to God, I quit Star Trek.
It won't be Sela, but Denise Crosby will be playing another role.
Her very, very future descendant, Sela Jr., the 12th. No,
we haven't seen any Romulans, I don't think.
No Romulans yet. In fact, a lot of things are missing.
But yeah, I could ask Daniel about his rewatch by alphabet, or we could just jump into the episode.
Let's just skip it for now. Yeah.
So we finally get to Starfleet. We, I guess they, spore drive in at a safe distance away as to not to like crash the party in the space donut. Honestly, off the bat, I really liked the space dock. It was very different. It was, not like a giant mushroom in space. It was a donut in space. But it was...
Well, one thing I do have to address isn't either good nor bad, but Daniel, was it you last week, or maybe it was Darren, but one of you asked, do they keep the shuttle bay open the whole time? And No, that's ridiculous. That's stupid.
Every shot is open.
And now that I look at it, I'm like, no, I guess that...
They trust that force field is stronger than any door, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the doors are only used in emergency situations because they definitely... My theory last week was that maybe they close it during spore jumps, but no, this week they jumped with it open, so I guess it's fine.
And there's always worker bees working. Like, they don't batten down the hatches. Black alert, they're like, I gotta move these crates over here to this side, says the foreman, so I gotta keep working. It doesn't matter. I don't get any breaks.
Look, I know how it is. I drive, it's 2005 Pontiac Vibe, and the back to the glass is right next to my knobs there on the left, so sometimes I accidentally pop it open. The swing's open, but it's open, so maybe that's it. Either Detmer or whatever has accidentally just keeps hitting the shuttle bay door button. It's a common mistake. It's like your gas cover. Sometimes that thing just stays open,
I guess black alert doesn't count as secure the main shuttle bay, but that part's not spinning. No, it's we were talking about that last week. So, I liked this, semi cloaked kind of donut, and again, lots of ships in the dimly lit cavern, so we could barely see them. But and they were all sorts of shapes, but
there were shapes.
Yeah, well, they were. Yeah.
Well, someone tweeted, and so it's not an original critique then. The exact nature, you know, verbatim. But anyway, it's something like, you know, man, I'm glad CBS All Access lit up this docking bay so I could see all these future ships and not make it dark as heck so I can't see anything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's that, and it's the fact that
it's because the ones in the back are copy paste. We all know it. So they just don't want
to
see that.
Well, and that's the thing. Here's they actually went through at least some sort of design process for these blurry figures that we can. But they keep only showing them via the view screen from the characters' perspectives. So
right.
Like it takes up like 13% of your screen, whereas yeah. in like traditional Star Trek, you'd get the exterior view of the ship so that you could see.
Forget
the
traditional
other
ships. Star Trek. Lower Decks has better shots of the Cerritos than.
So it was frustrating because they were like all in awe of all these different designs, and you were like squinting, like, is that what that is? Like,
yeah.
Okay, all right, I'll take your word for it, I guess.
It's like, computer, zoom and enhance, do something. We need to. But
it's like, you know, I think we all got spoiled, if you weren't spoiled already, about the USS Nog. So I was kind of looking for it, and I still didn't see it.
It's kind of one of the, I guess, dove-shaped kind of like, it was a, it's
the last one. It's the one after, like, all the ships they go by and they're done talking, and it's like the one that they pass as they approach the main area, the main circle. I don't know what to call that, but
it's sort of very opposite of the Voyager, because they're like, we really want to,
yeah,
for the fans.
Yeah, that was like right there. Like, we have to, okay, guys, it won't work if we don't stay on it for at least long enough to read the whole registry and the J. So
NCC-74656.
It felt so forced, and the image that they have looked weird, like the Voyager's registry number with the F at the end, or J or whatever it was.
J, yeah.
It I don't know. It just felt like it was really quickly slapped together, and I'm like,
well, and I mean, I get it. I'm sure the thought process was, oh. Well, in that far future episode, it was the Enterprise J, so it's got to be the Voyager J, right? Doesn't matter the fact that the original Enterprise started in Kirk's time, and our Voyager started in Picard's time, which is D, so it should technically be four letters earlier.
Unless the Voyager has a very high percentage of terrible,
which
terrible
could
things
happen
happening
as well.
Yeah. Like, every Voyager goes through some terrible, terrible circumstances. No.
I was gonna say, it's weird that it took Starfleet that long to.
I think it should have been the F, looking Voyager F. That makes more sense. But go ahead.
I was gonna say, well, it took a while for Starfleet to name it Voyager, but they're inconsistent and everything. You know, it's like there's a Defiant in TOS and a Defiant in DS9. It's not the same registry number.
True.
But I also like A. I'm a little concerned that Starfleet people don't know how to count letters in the alphabet.
They're
also
a science vessel, Philip.
Well, hey, at least it wasn't the Voyager
the math
2.
Vessel.
It wasn't Voyager 2 with the II at the end.
Of course, I mean, and again, this is nitpicky stuff, but like, you know, using the Enterprise, of course, as our prime example, it's not like they just name them one after the other. Like, you know, it could just be A, B, C, D, you know, because
right.
There's like 20 years in between these letters. You
right,
know,
there
so.
Should be, unless Picard is running it, and then you go through them right quick. So,
yeah,
just that's the one lesson he took from Kirk. We wish he hadn't, but
now I do, just for the sake of argument, want to imagine what the Voyager A was. You know, they bring Admiral Janeway, and then, you know, whoever two other people have to be there for the launching of the vessel.
Who would be the like the captain of the Voyager A.
The incompetent captain.
Yeah.
I don't know. Harry Kim. He finally made it.
Oh,
no way. It's not going to be Harry. No way. It's got to be.
I always thought I'd get a shot at that chair one day.
It could be Neil.
Not at the rate that he gets promoted, but. So we enter into Starfleet headquarters, and, you know, we get a lot of the fly arounds and, you know, I like the little note where Saru's like, we've already talked. They're expecting us, just go in. Like, thank you. Like, it shouldn't be like, halt, who goes there in the land of Oz? Like, we're not going to let you in. It's like, no, that makes way more sense. If they they aren't just going to pop in. And they're talking about all sorts of like, oh my gosh, there's these alloys. And it's like, did you guys forget that you had gone like 900 years into the future? But okay.
They're geeking out.
It was cool. Yeah, flying rainforests and all sorts of cool stuff. The rainforest. It kind of gave me a little bit of a Battlestar Galactica vibe where it's like these all
we're getting there, Darren.
Aren't
we're
all,
getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting to the Battlestar Galactica vibe.
Okay. So we're there and everyone's looking out the windows. No one's gathering in the main shuttle bay, the largest window in the entire ship, but, you know.
Shuttle bays are just big windows.
I mean, they're not. Maybe because it's on the back, and they're like,
that's all
like,
the
oh,
boring
at,
stuff.
Oh, look at that ship that we passed that everyone else has gotten to see for 5 minutes, and we see for 10 seconds. It's like, sir, can we back up into the?
Well, you know, there's some helms people, not a lot, that do like to do the back end docking. Well, that's usually your dad, though. But anyway.
But we beam over and we're greeted by Admiral Vance, the Starfleet commander in chief, in what apparently was discovered that this is the rebuild of the Shenzhou / Section 31 ship / Starfleet, the pit, as I like to call it, because it's like the upper level and then the pit in the middle. But they did a great job because I did not see those other ships in the construction at all.
Not lighting.
Yeah, it's true. Well, this was like the most lit up. It's like white. It's like, oh yeah, that's nice. Although apparently, like the med bay's in the middle of the pit. I guess
that's below. It's
yeah.
It's like it's like the
so if you fall off the railing, you'll get
where the students are looking down like a teaching hospital.
That's true. It was kind of like that. Like a
everyone knows you keep
like an operating theater.
So the
upper command is in the higher tier above the menial
blue shirt
workers. Hey.
And this is just, you know, making fun, of course. As we start off the episode, and of course, you know, at this point, Jessica and my wife and I are watching this. You know, it starts off the teaser, if you will. Like, we're going to go see the Federation, guys. Don't worry, we're going to get in. It's, oh great, God, look, it's awesome, guys. I'm like, oh God, something bad's gonna happen. It's not something bad's gonna happen, because then we go into the
Star Trek Discovery. It can't all be good.
Like, they're gonna be dicks like everyone else is in the future. That something bad's just gonna, we can't have good things. And then we meet the Admiral, who's actually not that bad, but they're still kind of,
I mean, he's not wrong by a lot of the, he fits with what I would expect from a post-burn Admiralty, and the fact that they've pointed out, I mean, our people have pointed out that, oh yeah, we erased all of our records, so yeah, those won't be there. It's like there's literally nothing to verify.
Okay,
I mean, how good are our records of a
hang
thousand?
On, hang
I mean,
on.
I know. Go ahead.
We've got to talk about this because it's very implied that the dude who is in interviewing, I don't even like talking about it, but the interrogating Dojo is
glasses.
Somehow connected to Section 31, right?
It's very implied.
By the way, if Section 31 existed to this timeline, there is no possible, I'm sorry, I just don't buy that Starfleet would have erased all of the plans for the spore drive when they knew that it worked and it was a form of propulsion that could get you anywhere at any time ever. There's no way that kind of thing goes away. You open Pandora's box, you don't get to close it again. So it bothers me that they say that there's no evidence or anything like that. Fine, if like all these people's personal files go away and stuff like that, that's fine, or the Discovery. Spore drive stuff should still be in there. It bothers me that it's not. I was just kind of frustrated with that.
Well, we start to get some name drops and a little bit of like current history because we're basically standing on the bridge, quote unquote, of the Federation bridge, I guess. I don't know. The pit, things like we learn about Kaminar was in the Federation, so that's kind of cool. That's Saru's planet, you know. Again, it's been a long time, so that's not the biggest of surprises. And we learn a little more about the Orion Andorian Emerald Chain co-op that apparently is bad, the bad guys. But what were you gonna add, Philip?
Well, I was just going to, and it's not a big bugaboo, but, like, you know, Starfleet and Federation, they it's the same place, presumably. I mean, we all know it's Federation, right. Starfleet's part of the Federation. But, like, you know, so we
it
see
seems like
Starfleet.
They're merged. There's one as one organization at this point.
But, like, we don't have to. I'm not, this isn't a crisis.
I mean, I didn't hear any president announced. It was just the head of Starfleet.
Well, there was two explicit references to that. Saru, before they get there, says that we're going to Starfleet headquarters / the head of the Federation. And he says they're one and the same base, essentially, because this is all that they have to go to. And
true.
Then the Admiral also says that all of the civilian government is there, exists there. We don't see them. But because they can't afford extras.
Yeah, after the burn, the Federation Secretary of Education.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, it's you laugh, but it probably happened.
Yeah, so there is some semblance of civilian government there, presumably. But we don't see them.
And, yeah, we get a nice little moment about, you know, Senna Tal, and this again is, I think, adding more credibility, these little moments, because the Admiral obviously knew Senna Tal and, like, the way he acted, and, like, they're saying the right things, you know. Everything the Discovery crew says, you know, is true. It's just he has nothing to go on for actually verifying any of it. We get Bowtie super chipper hologram guy. Apparently they use a lot of holograms in this time, which is interesting, but
holograms / AI are apparently always comic relief, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's a rule in Star Trek, but
Dr. Eli.
You'd think they'd just be people at that point. I mean, they would just be people.
You mean a race?
Yeah, almost like a race.
And will we be judged by how we treat that race?
They would be indistinguishable, you know? They would just, but okay. I mean, because there's no difference between that doctor and the doctor from Voyager. There's no discernible difference between those two characters. Those are the same character.
The bow tie.
That's it. And bow ties are cool. So, I mean, he picked
that's
a
right.
good one.
So, so you're saying in this generation of the doctor,
he's the bow tie doctor.
Wears the bow tie. Yeah. The EMH
Mark 11. He shows up with the fez next episode, I swear. Yeah, the EMHJ.
So we see Picardo Doctor start to glow, and then all of a sudden he just turns into this new guy.
An older version, yep.
Yeah.
But then we move on to, I guess, our B plot. I don't know, the main thrust of the episode, where we have these sick Keeley refugees, and Burnham just wants to help But yeah.
Can we just address, because, like, this is actually is part of it. It's the setup for it.
Right.
So the Admiral sits them down. He kind of debriefs them a little bit. They talk, and they say, he says, first thing he says is, we'll dock you and we'll debrief you and scan you. And he goes, we're going to upgrade the Discovery. And then he said, which I'm like, yeah, cool. That makes total sense. Get them up to speed. By the way, this is a thing they should do in the next episode, now that they're all nicey nice. Anyways.
Yeah.
And he goes, and we'll reassign everyone. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Nobody knows anything. How are they going to, they're all going to be useless everywhere else. Why would you? And it's just to set up. It was fine. It's fine. It's just.
I'm just picturing Scotty like, oh my gosh, your transducer is in backwards. Like, no, it's okay. Just put
get
it back.
Out of here, old man.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, it's basically the same thing. No, that's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's there to create drama and tension, but yeah, that isn't the smartest move.
I just was like, okay. Need to do that, but it's fine. Because, it sets it up, whatever.
It's a conceit that we're all going to go by, which is fine. I'm hand quoting, fine. That they shouldn't actually be able to use anything, honestly. They should be, any technology should be utterly unrecognizable to the Discovery crew at this point. I mean, you know, it's, you know, we go back 1,000 years. I mean, we're not going to, I don't know how to use any technology.
For an absolute fact, you should not know how to blink an advanced AI to death for some unknown, godforsaken reason. Oh God, I didn't want to talk about that scene. But yes, there are. You're right. The only thing I could think of is, in terms of that, Philip, is that it's so advanced that the technology is so smart that it kind of interfaces with you on its own. That way you don't really even need to do anything. It just kind of knows what you want, sort of
thing. Yeah, it's an extension.
And this goes into the principle of, like, theoretically, there's like a 5-person crew on each starship or something, you know? Yep. Something stupid.
That's true. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. What does that mean? Yeah. No, and so we also learn in our info dump that there's 38 member worlds remaining in the Federation, which is not a lot, down from 350. So
I'm trying to remember, what's like, the first 10% number? But I can't remember, you know, when Picard's talking to Lily. I don't remember, you know, I'd have to look it up.
Oh,
but anyway.
I don't remember.
Does he name a specific number?
I don't remember if he gives a number, but I haven't watched that movie in a while.
I think he does, but it's fine. Because I was trying to think, like, it's 350. I felt like Kirk in Star Trek 4. Is that a lot? 350,
you know. Yeah, maybe. And apparently, like, subspace relays... Honestly, I think they talk about the subspace relays being, you know, disabled, and I'm like, so what you're saying is Discovery's first mission should be load them up with like 100 subspace relays, and they just jump around and reestablish basic communication. Like, that sounds like a great mission.
I mean, they can still communicate at the speed of light without subspace relays,
but that's so very slow.
It's sure. But there are also other forms of communication that they've come across, is my point, right?
Yeah.
It's not just subspace that I get it. Like, maybe they can't video chat with whoever, you know, Andoria or whatever. But I just, whatever. Yeah, you're right, Darren.
You mean holographic project, Daniel? Nobody video chats anymore.
Yeah, what is this 2D screen? You offend me with your outdated technology.
I like that. Like, they should be like, you could just use the 2D screen. We could contact anyone. And they just look at them like, what?
Yeah, they're like, it's like, oh no, our system that uses like 8,000 teraflops of data each way. It's like, or you could send like Morse code. It's like, what? This is barbarism.
It's like when someone asks me to make a phone call, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
But that's
about?
Not what this is for. yeah. So we basically, yeah, we get a lot of.
Well, I was gonna say, like, with the. And whatever. I mean, I like this episode. Let me skip to the end. I did like this episode. I had trouble connecting with it. Like, in other words, I'd watch it going, you know what? I bet this is good. I don't personally care. But maybe that just says more about me. I mean, I just, none of the characters I'm, like, really caring about. But I'm looking at it like, no, this is emotional. This is, but anyway. But all this to say, I was like, man, this is such a side quest episode. You know, Daniel, this isn't even, like, the main plot. It just reminded me, like, Into Darkness with, like, you know, Kirk, like, going, like, McCoy, why are you messing around with that tribble? I don't know. Just this sort of like Michael, like, yeah. Hey, what's up with that sick alien over
there? It's the side quest to prove that the Discovery is competent on its own. I mean, literally their hand given.
They needed more
given,
reputation points. Yeah.
Well, but
sure.
But I mean, this because of the whole
it's
like
the tutorial.
The fact that they say, oh, it'll take us 5 months to get there is like, but not for us. So it's like this mission is hand picked to showcase Discovery.
Again. But you would think, so they get there, and then you would think that anybody else with future technology would be able to just beam the seeds out. By the way, why can't they just replicate seeds? Are you telling me they can't replicate seeds? What is this about? I don't understand.
Programmable matter.
Programmable matter. Was
or when
thing.
They take the seeds at the end, it's like, don't you want to take, like, half? Because, like, that kind of... You know, the next time someone comes back and like, well, sorry, that's been checked out by the USS Discovery like 200 years ago, and they never brought any back, so
okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I just have to rip into this real quick. I don't know if what is the organization here for that ship? They send one dude, like, with his family there to watch over all of these important seeds in the whole universe, and then he is the only guy that has the password to get in? And by the way, his password were his daughter's names. Oh my God. And Michael's supposed to be this super genius.
But the L was a one and they had an exclamation point at the end. It's totally safe.
Oh, anyways, I don't understand.
I do like they put all the 38 planets
it wasn't
in
even
a hat.
No, it's and then it's worse. It's worse, Daniel. It's not even just the fact that it's his daughter's names. It's his daughter's names that are also named after the moons of his own planet. So it's like
two
best
for
moons. Two.
It was implied there might be more.
What's your favorite
moon? The two
moon
best
a child.
Ones. Yeah. Well, of course, that one. What's your second favorite? You know. Yeah. Wait. Is this like the 32nd century? Like, what's your stripper name? It's your favorite moon and your, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
So we still get a little bit of a temporal jab where they talk about the temporal accords and outlying time travel. And he's like, you're present here as a crime. It's like, sorry, like, we came from the past. We have no way of knowing that that was a crime. It's like,
I thought he was going to say, your presence here is an act of war. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But he didn't say that. He said,
so thus it was not interesting. But
so it was not interesting. So,
I mean, I don't know if they're going to go anywhere with that, but it's interesting. I think maybe it's their kind of way of just confirming that, hey, we're not going to time travel back into the past. That is not a goal in this episode, in this show, which I'm fine with.
I do kind of like that they address it. I mean, as little as it is, but there's like a reason, like, you know, and it's kind
of. Does that mean we're not going to get the wacky time travel episode where we go to present day Earth, guys? Because,
oh no, the one thing Discovery needs.
And I don't know if I like it. I mean, liking it doesn't matter. Whether it works or not. I appreciate it, I guess I'll say it that way. But it kind of reminds us of when we make fun of the Picard logs, you know, that the person reviewing that over at, you know, Starbase, whatever.
Oh, right.
you have the Admiral, or you have the interrogators going, you know, getting the montage of the Discovery crew listing what happened during seasons 1 and 2. They're like, you have a sport, you have a mirror universe, what happened?
Yeah. Now, and I think what I'd like to talk about on the second half, if we get to there, of our podcast, is more about the Admiral and just the way they're portraying that character and bad roles in general in Star Trek.
The Mummy.
But
an awesome guy from The Mummy.
Oh, is he? Which guy was he in The Mummy?
He's the guy. I don't remember his name.
He's Imhotep.
The head of the good
the
guy
ninja,
squad.
Super ninja.
Oh,
mummy fighting squad guys.
Had like
you know?
The tattoo.
Yeah. The guys that are bound to always destroy the mummy. Oh.
Yeah, it's he doesn't look the same without his long. He had the long hair there, but
yeah. No. I pick it up now.
Yeah, my wife was yelling bad Admiral at the TV the whole time because.
I thought it was going to be a bad Admiral too, but it turns out so far, he's a nice dude.
On the scale of bad Admirals, you know, he's.
But, yeah, so then we get Daniel's favorite scene with the two holographic officers. Really. Again, they're like, oh, we know you're Terran, but I don't even know.
He was very smoking man, which I don't know if that was deliberate or not for the X-Files fans.
That's true. The smoking gunman.
We find out some interesting things. I will say, like, I gotta hate.
Well, that's Cronenberg, right?
That's the name people keep telling me. Yeah, I don't know who it is, but I think it's interesting that they know so much. He specifically knows so much about the Terrans, and that.
Well, he talked about like the diverging of the timelines, which makes sense because, like, in our knowledge from like DS9 travels. That we know the Terran Empire has fallen.
Yeah. Well, he mentions that too. Yeah. And then he also says that nobody's traveled across over 500 years.
Like, which kind of makes sense that if they're diverging, that it becomes harder for ion storms. And
yeah,
the, like,
but that was never really anything that stopped them from doing it before. But
yeah. Well, because was it technically, forget what the actual, I mean, everyone talks about like, the Germans winning World War II as like the incident where the split happened. I don't know if that's, if it goes farther back than that, but
Shakespeare's still the same apparently. So
yeah, I still like that intro to In a Mirror Darkly. That was some great,
which was also referenced.
Some great television.
Well, his birthday's April 5th. So.
It brought that up. Yeah. That was kind of cool. I thought that was cool. I like that guy. That guy was interesting, but
well, we'll definitely be seeing more of Section 31 head glasses.
Why
the glasses,
okay.
Man,
also
she asks him
also if you have a super advanced comm badge, even in Kirk's time, well, not Kirk's time, I guess, but in TNG time, you should not be able to break that with your foot. It's probably made out of some sort of tritanium alloy or
it's grown at this point.
Yeah.
Also, I mean I had a slightly confusion because when she cracked, to me, when she cracked it, it looked like there was a thing in it. Like, I don't know, I'm going to say a transponder. I'm making some words up. But anyway, but I thought then she would pick up the thing And it, we would see what the thing does. Like, maybe it's a data thing. Maybe it shows a hologram. Maybe, like, there's a, it's like a secret Cracker Jack prize inside of his comm badge. But I'm like, but and then it was just like, I just broke your badge, and that was what happened.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Act two.
There just seems like a lot of.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm feeling, and this may be me projecting, they're really pushing spinoffs. Like, we're focusing on, because I don't know when Section 31 is supposed to take place. I don't know if they know when Section 131 is supposed to take place, the series. You know,
I don't know
if
Section 31's taking place.
Wow. And then we have, you know, not to skip to the end. We have Non now has her own spinoff, you know, Non in Space on the seed plant station.
And talking about Non for a second, like, I like her character, and it was kind of surprising, like, because you keep her, I mean, her character gets on Discovery, so she's in season three, but now on the fifth episode she's gone, which I mean, I guess that's, I mean, heck, they kill characters and move them and do whatever. It's just, it was just,
yeah, I wish I liked that it focused on her. I didn't realize it was because she was leaving. Like, she's out of the
that's
show.
We should I know mean, that. I mean, yeah, the one episode lady. That focused on Arium, like, is when she dies. So if they have an episode that focuses on Saru again,
I don't know why that
be...
is. Like, it focused on these characters. That's cool. That was cool that, like, we learned about her culture and stuff and
yeah.
whatever. And it was part of the plot, which was until...
And it's a TNG species that we haven't really known about, you know. That's
and it was
cool.
It was part of the plot up until, of course, Michael had to come in and save the day instead of the person that they set up for the whole episode to come in and save the day. I was like, oh, come
on. At least they brought Dr. Colbert along this
time to convince Michael to save the day. But yes, yeah, he was there. Yeah,
and he was really, and again, not meaning to skip ahead, he was playing. This isn't a criticism, but like he was really playing a McCoy part. Like he was bringing the humanity, if you will, right. To like all the discussions. Like he was like, I mean, I really felt that. I don't know about anyone else, but like, I felt like that's McCoy he's doing right now. And I'm not saying he's like imitating him, but I'm saying that role of McCoy of bringing the humanity, the emotion, the all that, and directing characters to be human. You know, he was really pushing that.
Yeah. But then we also have Saru leaving himself as a hostage, kind of, you know, I mean, I get
Michael
it.
In command.
We got some ion storms, we got Black Alert, and you get some cool, again, Okwishin,
well, I mean,
you
Lieutenant
know,
Krabby, is that, again, we just have to have a Krabby person every episode.
Oh, Well, she kind of started to turn around. I mean, of course, you're going to have the antagonistic future people that don't trust our main characters.
Well, at some point, I think Commander Burnham would be like, all right, Lieutenant, you can have a seat.
I don't know. Can you pull rank on somebody that knows so much more than you and you haven't existed in this record?
Ooh, can she pull rank on her? And then she spits back with, actually, I looked at your file and you were Starfleet's first mutineer.
First mutineer.
How are you still?
Speaking of which... Is it me, or are they really pressing that button every episode? Like, I'm familiar with the series.
Which
but
button?
Like, the mutineer part? It's been Saru twice the season where it's like, Michael, of all people, you should know. I'm like...
Oh, I haven't thought about the mutiny in, like, ages. Like, I didn't even think of that.
They mentioned it twice this season.
Yeah, Saru threw it back in her face pretty blatantly at the end of the episode when he's like, you know, You don't get to like determine which orders are proper and stuff.
Well,
I
understand what you guys are saying. I was taking that totally in the vibe of her year away and the way she used to do things when she was on her own. That's what I was interpreting it as. Like, yeah, Saru was still saying like, yeah, he's like, get our hands on, you know, we don't do it that way. I was thinking more like, yeah, when she was on her own for a year and had to make her own way. That's why I didn't even think back to mutineer time. That was so long
ago. Well, he specifically says you don't just get to disobey direct orders because, you know, you have a pretty bad record of that. It turned out pretty badly.
That's
you
true.
Started a war.
Our first act will not be, which I feel is an interesting thing because I feel like Discovery would totally pull that. Like, yeah, let's steal the information because that's what we do. Steal the ship. Let's just go show it. We're the best things in the world.
Right.
It's like Discovery's like, oh, I know, we're Starfleet. You know.
It's interesting, is it's like It's like when a, you know, it's like when a company merges and you get like a new boss, but you still know how to do stuff, but you still have to like convince the new boss that you can do your job. And because, yeah, it's like, this is obviously not, you know, I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be like Lower Decks level of acceptance, because, you know, that was always fun. But, you know, I guess they have to earn
that. That's such a good analogy, Darren. I didn't think of it like that, but it kind of is. That's
because, like, that was the best, because that was like the best part of Lower Decks, when he like changes jobs and they're like, yay. It's like, what if the Admiral was like that, where it's like, oh my gosh, we're so excited you're here, and, you know, we could use all your help, all hands on deck, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't blame the Admiral, though. I mean, that, I imagine, would be a big resource drain for something for, like, a while. Like, Discovery probably, besides the fact that Discovery has the amazing plot armor of being able to go anywhere it wants at any time, there's a lot of, that's a lot of people you need to re-educate and kind of reintegrate.
And upgrade the ship. And
upgrade the ship and all this sort of stuff. So I really hope that they do that, though. Like, I hope that it's not just Discovery is the only people capable of it. Like, I hope it's like, well, Discovery's now part of the
bigger
group.
I mean, I'm expecting at least a couple of 30th century officers on the bridge now. We should have some of those people.
Absolutely, yeah. And they should all get everything. All the uniforms should change. All the technology should be upgraded. Everybody gets personal transporters. You get a personal transporter.
I mean, I'm kind of was hoping for that, because I know, just based on the promotion material for this season, that they were going to change the comm badge. But I'm like, shouldn't we just be wearing future uniforms? Like, next episode should be,
that's true,
here's your new uniform. I mean, but
it's retro now. It's cool to keep the Discovery
this
uniforms.
Star Trek Online, where you can just choose whatever uniform.
That's funny. But anyway, with our plot moving on, you know, we get to the Tikhov, and,
by the way,
those dang ion storms. Always got to watch out for those.
Understand everything that follows in the plot from now on. 80% of it I didn't follow, and that's whatever. I'm the story I followed, but the details of like the ship, the seeds, the thing we need for the, and I'm like, whatever. But like the ship, because Michael's like, oh, that ship was in service. Like, it's not the same ship, right? It's just the name of the ship, or
that
confused me.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I just moved on. Sorry.
All I know is Mr. Freeze was on the ship, because they took his backstory almost verbatim, except his wife was still alive. His wife was still alive when she was frozen. But
Nora.
They sprinkled in a little bit of the next phase, of course, because the guy is phase.
And a little bit of the Enterprise episode with the transporter guy's son.
Oh, you know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm kind of surprised that they didn't, when they're trying to describe him, I'm like, do you not have the word pixelated in your, because like that's what he is, but like they used every word but that word. Which
it made me, you know, whatever. When I forgot her name, the security commander was watching.
Non
was watching the log, and the guy's pixelated, and it's like, oh, what the freak's going on? And then Culber's like, hey, can you come over here? And I'm like, did you not hear that? Like, you're like a couple meters away. Were you not listening to the death log that just played? No, okay, that's And then like. Michael gets it. Like, nobody's using communicators. Culber and her is like, oh, there's this thing. Let's go shoot at it. I'm like, you don't want to tell Michael that there's killer melty hologram now? Okay, we're just going to go ahead with it. And then at the end, when the guy's like, no, I can't leave my family. And I'm like, yes, if only there was some sort of technological device that could move matter of your family to another place.
Yeah, but why couldn't the family go with them? There was a lot I did not understand about the end.
Yeah, I didn't mean to skip ahead. But it's
again,
just like,
you should not. If this is literally a priceless sort of relic, if this is a feature of the Federation that they want to hold on to for generations and generations, you don't assign one person to it. What is this nonsense? And he just sits there, and then.
Well, he didn't. They assigned three people to it.
No, they assigned him to it, and he got to bring his family because nobody checks in on them, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways.
But yeah, you know, I mean, we can basically cover the rest of the episode just with like lots of being unsure. I mean, what did you... Okay, here's another part that's subplot, Red Angel-ish. What did you guys think about the lullaby thing where... where Senatal and played
it on got to the Battlestar Galactica part, people.
Yeah.
Why? What is this? Tell me, because I have no idea. I really don't. What is this?
It's the harmony of the burn or something.
Yeah, is that what it's going to be? Like something that was connected to the... What is this? What is this supposed to imply?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking, guys. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't... I just... I
is
don't
this a holodeck program? Any of it real?
Why can... I mean, there's a zillion reasons why different people could have known the same tune, of course. But they're, of course, that's not what they're suggesting. They're not suggesting that there's going to be a, some sort of main mundane reason, like, oh, it's like a chord progression that makes sense to, throughout the universe. It's, of course, it's going to be something crazy, like Michael Burnham has to come back and create the tune that created the universe or whatever it's going
Wait,
to be.
Wait, you mean like it's something crazy that if you wrote the notes down, yeah, and put it into the navigational system, it would be where the new home is located? Something crazy like that? Is that what you're talking
about? It
could
about? Be something like that. I don't know. I actually really have no idea where they're going to go with this storyline. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting, and it's neither said in a good or a bad way, that they're creating these mysteries and then solving them in three episodes. You know, which, I mean, you know, we complain about Spock's shuttle never being solved, right? But, like, they're just saying, like, oh, we got to find the Federation. And then two episodes, we find it. And then it's like, oh, we got to, you know, find this. And then two episodes, we'll find, you know, which is not a bad thing, I guess. I mean, we really don't have an overlarge arc per se right now anymore. And that's a new way to do things. That's not a complaint. So, I don't know.
Hey, you know what? The president of Starfleet now knows that Detmer has some real issues. And if it gets to the president and he still doesn't do anything about it, I'm out. I don't know, man.
Did that have counseling technology in the...
Somebody's got to talk to her if everybody knows this is a thing going on, because they keep bringing it up.
No, I don't understand. I don't understand. Like they he's like, oh, your whole crew's, you know, I mean, I'm not making fun. It's like all mentally psyched out. Just mentioning it. We're not going to solve it. No. But I'm just throwing it out.
Yeah, there. I mean, yeah.
There's no way to solve
that.
How about it's some like, R&R, man? Like, let the... like
go to the jungle planet.
Yeah.
Surely.
Surely.
No,
is
like
Rice
the jungle,
still around?
The rainforest spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
They just said it was right there.
You know they have some sort of a cafe in there.
Well, and I'm wondering, now, what do you guys think? Like what is the... what is the course going to be for the rest of this? Like, we don't have the mission yet. You know what I mean? Like,
it's going to be the burn. I mean, I assume that's
discovering what the burn was. That's true.
I think
because I'm just trying to think because they could obviously come back to this Starfleet anytime they want because it's Discovery. The only reason they didn't before is they didn't know where it was.
Well, I think
the direct challenge from the president when he's like, well, if you discover any evidence to figure out what the burn was, and Michael's like, woohoo, I know exactly what that means. I'm going to figure it out.
So. My name's Michael Burnham. I should know really well. I can tell that.
You may have heard of me. Oh, you haven't, because we deleted all.
If anyone knows about the burn, it's the Burnham.
If they ever do that, I will quit. I'm not joking. I think I'm out at that point. So.
They just open up the asteroid, and it's a future Michael Burnham? Is that what you're saying? Anyway. The two things that... and this is a mild thing, but like two things that they kind of wave away in this episode, but I think they do it in such a way as if they're like, now I'm uninterested because they waved it up completely. First you have the Admiral being like, oh, what's this magical sphere data? And they're like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay. I'm like, really? That seems like something you...
it's like 1,000 years of data.
Blank
oh,
about
the past? We don't care about
we know
past.
All that.
That won't help us here in the future.
We'll just leave that in your computer ship. I'm sure it'll be fine. And then the second thing is the burn itself, because both with Georgiou and with Michael and Saru, like, what's the burn about? And they're like, oh, I don't know. We got theories, but who cares? I'm like, well, if you don't care, I don't care.
Yeah, at the end, it's like, we have a lot of theories, but none of them, yeah.
They don't seem to care.
I mean, this is a strange setup for a story, because the burn has happened long enough in the past.
It's like 100 plus years ago.
120, 90 or something, I think, like that. It seems like they would have established and settled into a norm at this point. Like, we are not going to go back and change the results of
I think that's why they don't really care. It's like they're living in a post-dilithium society, and they're just like, this is the new normal.
Yeah, it's just so strange. Like, I just... Well, you can't do anything about it now, guys. It happened 100 years ago. It's over. I guess unless they time travel, maybe they'll break the rules and they'll time travel and they'll fix it. I don't know.
Because one thing, as this sort of my wrapping up, if we want to move on to anything else, is that I did like this episode because I liked it, but I don't appreciate it. But that's my problem, I think. Because like the scene where Michael's having this heart to heart. I'm like, I don't care, but it sounds like I should care. And anyway, that's anyway. But I also thought this whole episode, whether it meant to or not, because I think Discovery doesn't always have meaning. But if you wanted to have meaning, I felt this was very appropriate to our current time, because this whole thing about, I mean, to the pandemic is what I'm relating it to. Like, you know, it's going on, and it's kind of trapped us, and what does the future look like? You know, relating it to the burn. And this is the part about, you know, the whole Renaissance speech, if you like it or not. But it's sort of like moving on, look up, and not moving on in a, like, it doesn't matter. But like, what's the future look like? We have to move forward. We can't just be in this sort of, we're going to stay here and hope, you know, magic happens and the world goes back to like it once was. Well, it's not going to be like it once was. It's going to be like a new normal or a new future. And so I felt like I felt this episode was very appropriate for this time. And maybe that's me reaching, but that's kind of the value I got from, like, we're not just going to be stuck here. We're going to look forward to what we can do from now on.
Yeah. And actually, answering your question earlier, Philip, on Memory Alpha, they say, so in First Contact, Picard says over 150 as of 2373. And then we know it got up to 350 at its height, which makes sense because that was like several hundred years later. And then now it's down to 38. So lots of planets. Again, I think every time we get a new one, we're going to pencil it in on that flag. But what was your overall thoughts, Daniel, on this one as we died trying but didn't die or tried?
Yeah, you know, I liked it. I was frustrated with like the setup of the seed station or whatever and a couple of other things, but I hope that they pick up the mantle and move forward in an interesting way. And although I'm a little nervous about this, about the music stuff, because that feels very much Red Angel to me. It feels very, very much like that they're going back to that.
The mystery. Yeah.
And I don't need that, because it just ends with Michael doing something and saving the universe and all sentient life. Which, by the way, she totally humble bragged in front of the Admiral about.
You know, you're welcome. It's like, sorry, Victor's write the history, and we didn't write that history, so we don't care.
But I really, actually, you know, I liked that they focused on Nan, and I wish she didn't leave. I wish they just did that with characters. Have an episode, like, you know, classic Star
Trek. Are
they
gearing up then to get rid of Detmer then? Because we're starting to focus on her.
Maybe they're really ramping up
the death knell.
Yeah. But I liked that it was like all about her and her culture, and like it fit and it worked. And I really wish they just gave her the payoff at the end of the episode that she convinced, oh, she only knows the culture about death for her culture, and she can help convince
them. That's true. She should have been. Well, but instead she was like, you don't get our culture. I wouldn't say that. But you're right. She should have been the one to break through to him, because
only Michael could do that for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah. So I liked that part of it, and I hope they continue to do that, because why not? You know. And you don't have to focus an episode only when somebody leaves, because we'll actually get to know the characters and like them before they leave.
Well, but we're doing that with Detmer. I mean, not knowing her as much yet, but we're obviously she's had more focus in these last couple episodes.
We're going to find out Control is got a hold of Detmer. Control now has a hold of Giorgio. Control has a hold of whoever. Oh, this new guy with glasses now. Who knows? It's going to be crazy.
But, yeah, we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, so next week is episode 6. It'll be called Scavengers. And I believe Booker is back. I know you guys were worried. He's back. And yeah, I don't even remember what the intro or the little blurb video was, but I'm sure we'll have to. I think it was crazy scheme to get what we need time, because that's what we're doing now. But yeah, but oh, overall, I think it's been an interesting season so far. I think interesting to see a lot of setup still. I feel like we haven't kind of shifted from setup to payoff yet. But maybe that's because we finally just got to the Federation, which was kind of the first step. And did nobody connect to that guy on the starbase? Is he still out there? Like, hope I get a phone call someday.
That's a good point. I hope they go back to him at some point. They should at least.
Or maybe do Operation Starfleet Relay and reconnect, because that'd be great. But anyway. All right. Well, Philip, if someone wanted to talk to you about your favorite bow tie wearing doctor, where would they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at handle NC Public Servant for all things doctor sci-fi related.
So if I have a question about Darren, I can come to you.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about why you're wearing fashionable black glasses, Section 31 operative, where would they find you?
Honestly, I thought they made me look cute. You could find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's number one. Not the word, as in, glasses are the best.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about which character is going to get the focus, air quotes, next on Discovery, they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3 in the year 3000.